I'm looking at the new, well, let me just say that Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense, Hallberg Defense the Emperor. I'm looking at your website. I tell you what, you've never come into here with the hair looking that good.
No, no, you can amazing what you can do with Photoshop, right? You can do that. Yeah, we threw up a new website.
It looks great.
Thank you. HallbergDefense.com. Yeah, we, a lot of people, that's how people are, you know, frantic. You got to find an attorney. And so a lot of people who maybe haven't heard of us before will hopefully find us on the internet.
Well, H-A-L-B-E-R-G.
Just one.
And for those of you who can't spell it, D-E-F-E-N-S-E, like defense.
What's amazing is in England, you know, defense is spelled with a C. And how many people have a problem with that and spell defense like the Bears, defense? I say it's not like
well, they do. They defense. Hold the D and they hold up a fence, so yeah. They may be confused by it.
Exactly.
Marsh Hallberg Sports Law segment on 105 The Ticket, brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. If you need to drive, they can help. Speaking of drive, we have our guest Patrick Hunt, who apparently has had his driver out a few thousand times this fall already.
Not
or
quite
this
that many times.
A few hundred.
But I had a good run.
When did the course open?
The course opened about a couple weeks ago, but I've been fortunate to play a few other locales.
Well, and the course we're talking about is one of the premier courses of the nation, Hazeltine. And I think it's an amazing job you guys do between having a golf course and a drug rehabilitation facility at the same site. That's very impressive.
You've heard that once or twice. Actually, there's a spelling difference, not unlike defense.
And Patrick's here. We're going to talk some Ryder Cup. But Patrick, I got to tell you this story. Back when the U.S. Open came here, I did an interview with someone from Hazeldine and Hazeltine. And the woman at Hazeldine said they had a guy dropped off. Or that he showed up with his golf clubs because he was dropped off there. And conversely, they've had people dropped off at Hazeltine wandering in looking for help.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a Hazeldine facility about a mile, not half a mile, door to door from Hazeltine.
And then we have, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, literally half a mile away. And then we have Doug Hazelton in our office. So we get calls for both the golf course and the treatment center at our law firm. Let's do that. But Patrick was kind enough to come in. We know we're had a schedule, but this is going to be such an incredibly big deal that we thought we'd come in and talk a little bit about the Ryder Cup and Hazeltine and everything else. And you know, Patrick, why don't you start a little bit? I'm a mere social member out there. I tell you, I've been a social member at Hazeltine for 30 years. I'm not a golfer, but it's an amazing, from a citizen of Chaska standpoint, it's an amazing attribute it brings to our community. I go all over the country, and people, when they hear the word Chaska, they know about Hazeltine. Nothing else about Chaska, but they know about your
club. Well, I appreciate you saying that.
No, and it's an amazing place, and can you tell us a little bit about the background of the club? Maybe?
Sure. It's really kind of an interesting story, if nothing else, for the discipline of sticking to a mission statement. So an individual named Ton Heffelfinger, another founding father named Bob Fisher, a few other individuals, back in 1960-ish, roughly, started talking about expanding Minnetonka Club. They were members of Minnetonka, and they had an idea to buy a lot of acreage on the Chaska area and then have a second course available to Minnetonka members. That ultimately got voted down, so Totten said, well, you know what, we're going to do it anyway. So he put together a number of investors. They went out and bought that land, which includes, as you probably know, you know, Jonathan area, the industrial park on the other side of the lake, a lot of acreage out there. Eventually, you know, as far as the course is concerned, there was the Hazeltine Golf Course, as you know it, although it's changed quite a bit, and then the Par 30, which was actually also designed by Robert Trent Jones, which a lot of people don't know.
And I did not know that.
That's a public facility right down the street. But when they started the club, the mission right out of the gate was to host national championships. So, you know, the design to accommodate a lot of people, to have a lot of room, to have a golf course that can evolve over time. There's no championship course that does not evolve. There's constant changes that are required. So they built it with that in mind and then executed the mission magnificently.
You know, when they were talking to Patrick Hunt from Hazeltine, and he's involved in the Ryder Cup, which will be here in a few years, and it is golf season. But how many courses have had the number? What is the number of majors right now that you've had?
Boy, let's see. We've had two U.S. Opens, two U.S. Women's Opens,
PGA,
a Senior Open, two PGA Championships, Mid-Am, USAM, NCAA Championships, and now the Ryder Cup. I think Oak Hill would be the only one that would exceed us, and that's only because they've had a PGA Senior Championship.
Well, but my question is, Oak Hill's been around longer than Hazeltine.
A lot of championships in a short window.
That's what I'm getting at. I mean, the mission statement was accomplished because you have gotten a number of major events in a short, relatively speaking, a short period of time, and you're talking 55 years to get that many when some of these have been around 100 years.
Well,
these,
you know,
courses are close
that,
to it.
There's a real historical element to that as well. So we got a women's open in 66. It's kind of a trial to get a men's open. To be honest, the golf course, and you've heard some of the controversy around it, I would argue in hindsight was probably not ready for a U.S. Open, but because of Totten's connections with USJ as a president, he was able to get Hazeltine that championship. So, you know, Dave Hill made his comments. It was a very difficult golf course, a lot of dog legs. Conditions were challenging, and everybody pretty much got beat up, with a few exceptions, Tony Jacklin being one of them.
Yeah, but I saw that they had, less than half of the field broke 80 the first day.
Right,
and
yeah.
So then, for those that don't know, David Hill made a comment that was big deal back then, that the only thing Hazeltine was missing was 80 acres of corn and a few cows.
he apparently had a few cocktails at that moment and ended up regretting that statement and actually sending us some nice notes, but
some nice corn and a few cows.
Right. Because, and that's one reason we are very stubborn about tearing down that barn, I think. But because of the criticism, frankly, and our desire to continue executing that mission, a lot of changes were made. So Reese Jones came in, Robert Trent Jones' son, and dramatically changed the golf course into the championship venue that it was in 91. And then our performance in 91, which was record breaking on all fronts, really, I think, established our legacy as a major and international now championship venue.
That was an amazing Open. I've been told this. Is it true that the professional, you know, the PGA and those things really like Hazeltine because of the size of it, the ability for number of spectators that can come, the ease of parking, it was designed kind of to accommodate those things. It's a more profitable end.
It's just a lot of convenience factors, infrastructure for whatever the broadcast partner is, be able to park media tents, et cetera. And our leadership back after the 91 Open had the foresight to actually use the proceeds to buy all that land. Okay. It was the old Molnar farm.
Right.
And again, looking at our mission and executing, that land was a huge asset. So that was another smart decision.
I'll tell you what, and both of you probably have seen it in your fees, but it's a spectacular what you did to the buildings a few years ago.
Oh, thank you.
That's a great story.
It's really nice. I mean, it used to just have just the 1960s look, but everything was updated and everything is. It's a great place to wander through now.
Well, thank you. I was the head of the design committee, so I'm just with a positive.
I didn't know that.
That either. Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah.
So what they did is they leveled the old club. That's gone, and they kept the timbers.
Was built by a barn maker, literally a barn maker.
Wow, and that's
back in 1960.
So it had that vibe, like Bob says, yeah. And. Now, I was told that all the original timbers, some of those were planed back down.
Yeah, so when you walk in the opening lobby, we sanded down and took a number of original timbers, and that forms a lot of the structure in the opening lobby and some of the bar and restaurant area.
Very light woodwork now, Scandinavian kind of a feel to the place. An amazing course, and people, if you ever have somebody you can suck up to get on the course to do that, it's the place you want to be. And it's clear you got to make sure you never call it a country club, too. That's an era. It's a golf club. When I first joined there, they had tennis courts. And those didn't last long. Like Patrick,
I don't know, a month or something.
And they ripped them out and said, this is not a country club. We don't have tennis courts here. This is a golf club.
So I shouldn't bring my swimming trunks?
No, that's exactly right. You do not do that at Hazeltine.
And I keep waiting because I figured one of you would go highbrow on us. You keep calling it, it's Hazeltine National Golf Club.
We've got our short version of Hazeltine. We're comfortable with either.
Yeah, we're laid back.
Has it been national since the 60s or since it was
It has. It was originally designed to be a national club. So
they went with that right away.
Right out of the gate.
And it's well.
And it might have been Hazeltine National Executive or the Executive Club. There was some national element of corporate individuals around the country being members.
Now, you got the 2016, you have the Ryder Cup, which is obviously a huge deal. What are you going after now? Are you going after another U.S. Open, another PGA? The Masters won't be moved there. We know
no,
that.
No. We are maintaining and cultivating relationships with all entities that conduct those types of championships, and we will continue to improve. We may very well be the largest privately funded major sports venue in the state. And so everything we do, any proceeds, any opportunities that way, always get redirected back into upgrading and evolving the golf course and facilities to continue to be competitive.
So wait a minute. So when you're going to hold the Ryder Cup, you're not going to ask the state to build you a stadium or anything?
You're not asking the state to build us. We already have our stadium.
Boy, that's so weird.
And what are the rules like on how often like a U.S. Open or a Ryder Cup can come back to somewhere? Is there a limitation on that?
It's never gone anywhere twice. So there's, I think, 41... I'm not sure if that includes this or not. Roughly 41 or 42 in history.
Wow.
Only 21.
Ryder Cup has never gone back to the same place. Mm-hmm.
This is
your shot,
I'm
buddy.
I'm pretty confident saying this will be the only one in our lifetimes that'll take place.
And I've become so popular right around that time because everybody wants tickets, and suddenly I get calls from people I haven't talked to in years that suddenly want tickets.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing to do. So not being a golfer, I had to research a little bit about Ryder Cup, and I don't know if we want to do that now or after come back from break, but I want to talk to Patrick a little bit about exactly what the Ryder Cup is.
Yeah, good.
Okay. So why don't you enlighten us a little bit on what the Ryder Cup is, how it works, what the history of it is?
Sure. Well, it started back, actually started in the early 20s. There were some informal matches between the U.S. and England. And then in 1927, a seed merchant named Samuel Ryder decided to sponsor the event and bought the trophy. So that was really the first official Ryder Cup. So it started off as technically England against the United States. In the early 70s, they said, we'll name it England and Great Britain team, even though,
Ireland?
Great Britain and Ireland. Because Irish players have been playing since 1947, I think. So they made that official. And then eventually, the U.S. was on quite a run of winning 20 out of 22. So people were actually losing interest. So Jack Nicklaus said, look, if we don't make changes and make it more competitive, people will lose interest and it'll be the end of the Ryder Cup. So on his suggestion, they added other countries in Europe. So that's when it became the Europe team against the U.S. team in 1979.
What's the record since then?
Well, so then in 19, there's an interesting story with our former member, our current member, Tony Jacklin, but in 1985 began a run of 10 victories out of 14 for the Euros.
I think they need to go back to having just their Britons.
Great Britain getting our butt handed to us.
Yeah.
And they rotate, what, every other year? Every 2 years, right?
And it alternates between a European venue and a U.S. venue.
What is the, and again, we're talking to Patrick Hunt from Hazeltine National Golf Club. And Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense, HallbergDefense.com, the Emperor.
Thank you.
When I can imagine, I'm guessing already what the answer will be. What's more desirable for a club, the U.S. Open or the PGA? I mean, because to me, I'll give you my feeling on it. There's three major events, and there's the PGA.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the step cousin or the one that the big ones. It's great, yeah, you win a PGA. If that's the only one you win, you're thrilled with it. But to me, the way I would rank them, it's the Masters is by far the number one. I'd say the British Open and something the U.S. Open. They're both pretty close, but to me, the PGA is a distant fourth. When you're going after them, do clubs? Let's talk generally. You're never going to admit that you're going to ask one over the other. Do clubs look at it that way?
I think clubs, frankly, want to get what they can get. Now, some clubs have very strong relationships with the USGA and would frankly decline PGA and vice versa. Now, I would say I'm both objective and biased all at the same time because we've held both events. I will say that back in 2002, Jim Autry, who was the president of the PGA at the time, intentionally upgraded the venues that PGA went to, so from various venues that will go unnamed, to places like Medina and Hazeltine and Oak Hill, et cetera, in order to upgrade the reputation, the brand of the PGA Championship. And since then, and again, I believe this is objective, the finishes for the PGA over the last three or four or five, even go back to 2002 with Rich Beam and Tiger Woods, have been more dramatic. And I think it really has made a big difference, although it'll take a long time for them to equalize or or win again.
Well, you went 21 years between U.S. Open, 70 to 91.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't had another one since 91, and you went only 7 years between 2002 to 2009 and the PGA. You're due for another PGA. Or open. So
yeah,
why are you guys lagging behind?
So, so if you look at 2002, we signed this Ryder Cup contract back in 2002. And one of the big reasons was because as we were approaching that 2002 PGA Championship, the PGA saw how well we were performing. So they knew we were rock solid.
This goes back to 2002?
2002. So this is in August of 2002. So right before we had the 2002 PGA Championship, they saw what ticket sales were. They saw what corporate hospitality was. They anticipated what the merchandise results would be. So they assigned us or gave us 2009 and the 2016 Ryder Cup at the same time.
Wow. That's a pretty good deal. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Patrick Hunt from Hazeltine National Golf Club and the Ryder Cup. And, of course, Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg criminal defense, HallbergDefense.com. This Marcia Hallberg Sports Law segment on 105 The Ticket brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. If you need to drive, they can help. We'll be right back. Talk a little more golf. We got plenty to talk about. Find out a couple of Green Bay Packer fans. See if you're Wild fans, too.
Darn right.
If you're only going to be pulling for things across the border. We'll be right back.
The Bob Sansevier Show. Only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Magic number. Yeah, it is. It's a magic number.
Play this. Play this, but he won't play Frankie Valli.
I know. It's his priority. He's always screwed up.
It's a magic number.
Give a guy control over a few buttons.
He does play pretty good music.
Not like you're driving not like you're driving a bus where you control everybody on the bus, you know.
It's kind of like that.
But it's not. We got a little threesome, three questions, three answers, drawn by Marsh Hallberg still. Hallberg Criminal Defense, HallbergDefense.com. If you find yourself in the Who's Gal, see if you can remember that. H-A-L-B-E-R-G. Also, Patrick Hunt from Hazeltine National Golf Club. We were talking about the Ryder Cup. And actually, during the break, you need to repeat this. How many people are going to be in the – there's a lottery, right?
Yeah, so there will be about a quarter million patrons during the course of the week. We already have 120,000 people registered for information on tickets. Those will convert to actual registrations. And then we'll draw through the lottery for what will probably be about 18,000 available tickets per day. So
there's not that many tickets available for the public.
Difficult ticket.
Man. It's going to wind up being 1 in 10 shot, something like that.
Worse.
But it's worth it, man.
There is some corporate hospitality, so there are ways to guarantee access.
Yeah, if you're loaded.
But those that have not been out to like a prior open or something, again, you don't have to be a golfer. The energy, the excitement, it is an amazing event.
The first tee is unlike any moment in sports, frankly. The cheering and the yelling and the noise and the excitement, electricity, it's crazy.
No, Tiger, dumbass. It's a lot of that, too.
It's a lot of that, too.
A little bit of that. Maybe.
I'm looking forward to it. I know I won't get on the grounds unless I have a press pass.
Maybe if you're nice to me. We'll see.
Well, I can get a press pass.
Okay, that's
Patrick,
right.
You don't get a press pass?
I think there's something like 1,500 press passes given out.
Well, take my name now because I want to go out there. Well, as a matter of fact, 105theticket.com. 105 The Ticket. We'll also have the .com stuff, too. We want to go live from there. Can you assure us a spot to do our show from there?
I can introduce you to people who can talk.
Don't give me that, Patrick.
That. Okay.
We want the assurance now because Marsh and I want to do this show from there, and we'll have you on as a guest. How's that, huh?
Yeah, that's good.
I'll show
little
you
quid
that
bro
I can
quo?
Talk to the right people.
Okay. Oh, here we go again.
Here we go.
All right. Let's hear it. And by the way, let's get them calling now. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. We've got three questions. You're going to answer at least one of the three. And if you answer, and there's no wrong answer in these, you're going to get tickets to either tomorrow's Twins game, which is a day game. We got a pair of tickets to tomorrow's. We got a pair of tickets to Thursday's game. And we've got tickets to Northern Invasion featuring, among others, Slipknot and Five-Fingered Death Punch.
Oh, Heart Be Still.
Your favorite.
My favorite. Let's play them. Maybe we'll play them. You won't play Frankie Valli, but maybe you'll play the Five Finger Death Punch. I actually have to hear what Five Finger Death Punch sounds like. Let's hear that question. The phones are lighting up already.
Attention, Bob. I have three questions for you. Number one, Cordarrelle Patterson says this year will make him or break him. Which one do you think it will be?
Break him. I honestly think last year is the year he should have stepped up big. To me, he's a latter-day Buster Rhymes who lasted a few years in the league. Great talent, but did not produce. The best thing Buster did is give the name to a rapper because the rapper stole his name. And went from Buster to Busta. And I think Cordarrelle Patterson, there are some guys that they just don't want to take the game seriously enough. And prove me wrong. I hope he does. I absolutely hope that he does.
I hate to say I agree with you. It's not happening. If it should have happened this last year, it's not there. I don't know. Patrick, what do you think?
I agree if he's on the team even.
Okay.
Well, I think he'll make it through into the season. Let's go to line one and ask that. Who's this?
Jim from Golden Valley.
Jim, you've locked up the tickets to tomorrow's game, all right? Just tell us, Cordarrelle Patterson, will he make or break year? Will he make it or break it?
I'm going to go ahead and say break it, unless that whole... what did coach have him meet somebody as a mentor or whatever? Maybe that helped him out a bit.
That works great.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with the guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. And by the way, do you ever win tickets easier than that?
Can't say I have.
Well, Jim, that's what we do on the ticket. We just give things away. Enjoy the game tomorrow, the Twins game. All right, let's go to the second question, and line two will get a shot at the other ones.
Number two, it is now highly unlikely that Kevin Love will return to the playoffs at all. Is this the last time we've seen him in a Cleveland uniform?
I'd say yeah. I think he wants to go to the Lakers. Again, they got you for the playoffs, and what'd you do? You got hurt. Now, it's not his fault necessarily, but he's not coming back.
And now they're not going to win a championship because of him.
Yeah, first they weren't going to win it because of the way he was in the regular season. Now they're going to win it because he's hurt. Stupid. No, I don't think he'll be back there next year. A guy doesn't, to them, he let them down. If they don't win it, it's going to be his fault. If they do win it, they don't need him.
Patrick?
He's gone. Chemistry with him is gone.
Well, chemistry anywhere is gone. So we're all agreeable people here. We're like three times. Well, you know, to it.
Let's see if we have agreement from our next caller.
Troy.
Troy, yeah. If you could say blah, 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 you pretty much get the tickets to Thursday's game for the Twins. So what's your blah, 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 yes or no on Kevin Love?
Cleveland.
Really?
I mean, he's got LeBron James, Kyrie Irving's coming up. He's got the money guaranteed. He's going to stay.
See, I think it's the ego, though. That's why I think he'll leave. He wants to be the star of a team.
You go to the Lakers, I mean, you got to deal with Kobe's ego.
Kobe's not going to be around next year. If he is, it'll be for 1 year, and then he's gone, and then it's your team. There's no way Kobe's going to play into his 60s.
I mean, can you really build a team around Kevin Love?
No.
We tried.
Exactly.
He thinks you can, but you can't. But that's what he's going to try to do. That's a good call. Thank you. You earned those tickets with your answer.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Northern Invasion tickets?
Can you what?
If you want the Northern Invasion tickets,
you can have the Northern Invasion tickets. They're yours.
Awesome. Thank you.
But you have to promise this. I want to call, and I want to know how Five Finger Death Punch, how they performed, and if they lived up to your expectations.
You know, I've seen them twice before, and they are awesome live.
What about Slipknot? You like them?
I do like Slipknot. I've never seen them live, though.
All right. Well, you enjoy the Northern Invasion tickets. I got a feeling the other call is going to be happy you did. All right, let's go to question number three.
And finally, Ricky Nolasco is almost set to return to the Twins rotation.
Retire?
Who will get sent down for Nolasco's return?
I don't know. I got to go through the list of what stiffs they have. You can throw a dart and find a guy to send down.
If they're going to get rid of a starting pitcher, it's most likely going to be Trevor May. But do you want to see May stay up with the team because he's a young arm and he's supposed to be part of the future of the Twins?
No, you can send him down.
You want to get rid of somebody else?
No, let him go down and pitch. I mean, it's not like they're going to send him somewhere and he's going to sit in a corner and not pitch. He's still going to pitch. So I don't have a problem with that at all. Gentlemen, Marsh Hallberg, Patrick Hunt.
I don't care.
Oh, sorry. Oh.
That's a good answer, too.
Oh, sorry, I was just thinking, use my outside voice there. Patrick?
I think they'd probably send me down.
That'd be probably a good call to get you out of there. Harry, we want to keep you up, though, as long as you get us that spot, though, for to broadcast.
Yep.
Who is this?
It's Warren in St. Paul.
Warren, how are you?
Good.
Warren, you know, I'm sorry to say you're not getting the Northern Invasion tickets because somebody else wanted them. You're going to get Twins tickets to Thursday's game. Are you okay with that?
That's fine.
All right. Glad you're happy with it.
What a pal.
All right, so tell us, who would you send down when Nolasco comes back?
Well, that's a really tough one because the pitching's getting better right now. I mean, I don't think I'd send May down because hasn't he proven he can play? I'm sure he's still a little uneven with his control, but I don't know who you'd send down. Maybe one of the guys out of the bullpen that have been a little iffy.
But if you don't have room for, you're not going to have six starters, so might as well let them pitch. The other thing is, with this team, you know somebody's going to get hurt in the rotation.
It happens. Doesn't it seem to happen? You know what's really strange is that if you look back when Bert Blyleven and those guys were pitching, some teams only had a four-man rotation, and they would have a lot more complete games. I think it's really this new generation of pitchers, I don't think that they're...
They've gone soft.
Anything what they used to be. I mean, that's what Jim Cott always talks about. He thinks that's what's hurting the young pitchers. They have too much time off. What do you think?
I don't disagree with you, actually. I mean, take a look back. I mean, look at the heyday of baseball and these pitchers, obviously there are more opportunities when you saw guys winning 30 games or getting somewhere in the 20 to 30 range. They were pitching on 4 days, there were four pitchers and they'd pitch, and you're right, you didn't have as many relievers. I think these guys are being trained to be soft.
Well, are they trained differently?
Yeah, I think it has to do with they're having a lot of time off, and I think that maybe it's preparation. Maybe it's just the way they have gone through the system, but I think it's really hurt them. Well, one other question you should have is, do you think Adrian Peterson will be traded tomorrow?
Or Thursday?
Friday?
I don't care what Rick Spielman said. I do think he's going to wind up being traded.
Well, I if you go off of what Chris Landry said, who used to work and knows those guys, that Tampa Bay has a running offer on for their second Jonathan Banks in the third next year. If they don't make that deal, on the table for quite a while.
So they can get the 31st pick in the draft, a third next year, and Banks is what you're saying?
Yep.
And make the deal.
That offer's been on the table. And Landry, he's in meetings still in the draft these days, and he says that in Tampa, I couldn't figure out what the trade would have been, but that makes sense to me for both sides, and if they don't make that deal, I'd be a little disappointed.
Well, read between the lines what Spielman said. He likes to accumulate picks. He would get picks, two pretty darn good ones. The 31st overall pick?
34th.
The 34th?
Yeah, because there's 32 teams in the NFL.
Oh, excuse me, 33rd.
But
yeah.
No, they actually have the second one in the second round.
Excuse me, 34th. Okay, 34th. Good point.
Well, what's good about that is that they could either stay there, watch a guy drop, they could get back to the first
package and move up.
Or trade down and get another third rounder. If he doesn't make that move, he's making a big mistake.
Well, you're right, because they have their own, you know, they have their own pick in the second round too. If they wanted to get back into the first round,
And look at it this way: Peterson's been injured 3 out of the last 4 years. When's the last time where he's put up numbers that's supposed to be the best back?
Three years ago.
I don't think, and with the money baggage he's bringing in this year. Why would you want somebody like that in around there? And he cost them millions of dollars last year, and that didn't even play.
I can't argue with you. You know what? I wish we were starting the segment instead of ending it, because I'd love to continue this. Thanks for calling. Enjoy the game Thursday. Just hold on so we can get your information.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to come right back, take a quick break, come back with Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, Suhan on filter.com. And thank you to Premier Pool and Spa, which sponsors Jim's segment. We'll be right back. This is not Frankie Valli.
He is not trainable.
I never said it was.
He is not trainable. We give him one simple job.
You better give Frankie Valli.
I'm suing.
Marsh,
I'm
suing. And he could sue too.
That's right.
Mental
distress.
I want to be part of this. This joint. What do you call it? Class action suits. Jablonski better get. He won't though.
I used it yesterday. I already told you.
Okay, you've used this too. Sorry, you have to listen to this, Jim Suhan. From the Star Tribune, Suhan Unfiltered. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters, and it's great any season. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, I'm sorry you had to listen to that, but Marsh Hallberg and I are taking seriously the fact that Hellboy won't give us Frankie Valli. Again, he did it yesterday. Thought he was teasing us with it.
I'm bringing in a boombox next week with it on there. If he doesn't play it, I'm just holding it up to the mic.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm telling the front desk not to let you in.
Yeah, that's just not right. I mean, Jersey Boy's coming to town, and he just won't play anything from it.
It might be my favorite Broadway show. I mean, it's not like I've seen a million Broadway plays, but I have seen a certain number. That's probably my favorite play of all time.
Yeah, it's here right now.
Now, I did not see the play. I love the movie, though, the Eastwood movie.
I've done the reverse. I've seen the play and not the movie.
Well, you've seen both, right, Jim?
No, I've only seen the play. The play is so good, I didn't want to ruin it by going to see the movie.
Well, I don't want to ruin it by going to see the play, because I thought the movie was so good.
It was just so well written, and it really lent itself to that size stage and those dynamics. I just can't imagine it being any better. So,
that.
And the other thing is that, you know, it sounds like I brought my significant other to see Jersey Boys, and she's a trooper, so, like, you know, I've taken her to see other shows, and she'll admit to me afterward, I thought it was going to be terrible, and it was great, and that's what she said about this. She's like, I didn't know Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, or I didn't want to go see this stupid show, and then she loved it, and she recognized all the music.
All right, one last question about that, and then we'll get to the sports. By the way, Patrick Hunt is here with us. He's from Hazeltine Golf, National Golf Club.
Yeah, Patrick, how are you?
Oh, good. You guys know each other.
Yes, we do.
Now, let me ask you, Jim, how close, because the guy in the movie was the original Broadway version of Frankie Valli. How good was the guy playing Frankie Valli? Was he a dead ringer for the voice?
He was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yep. I mean, he just nailed it. And he's same size, same build, same look. But the voice is, it's amazing how many talented people there are in the world. I mean, you know, you watch you watch the final round, not the crap show early rounds where they're just trying to make fun of people, but you watch any of the later rounds of any of the talent shows. You go to any local high school and hear somebody sing an anthem. You go to Broadway and the backup singer's got like the eighth most beautiful voice in the world. It's amazing how many talented people there are in the world.
Yeah, you might have seen the guy that actually played in the movie, because he was it John Lloyd something?
I think that was the guy, yeah.
Okay, phenomenal. You've got to see the movie. But anyway, now you were at the news conference for Rick Spielman today, right?
Yes.
Okay, which one of the things that you find most disingenuous? We have no interest in trading Adrian Peterson, or I have the utmost respect for Ben Dagra, a guy who started a fist fight with one of his Vikings executives.
We all know that Rick will say what is in the best interest of his organization. Yeah. And you know, when Rick first got to town, I used to poke a lot of fun at him for that. But we just know the deal now. You know, it's like, I can't remember what the phrase he used before the Harbin trade, but a day before he traded Harbin, it might have been, we have no interest in, or we have no plans to. You know, it's intent. We all know what that means. So I don't even make fun of it anymore. We know exactly what language he's speaking. We know how to interpret it.
Yep.
It's all on the table. I will say that today, tone of voice, the way he finished that thought, it really sounded to me, and I've heard this from other people in the organization, you know, if I can parse the tea leaves a little bit here, I bet Mike Zimmer saying, give me Adrian, and we're going to win a lot of games this year.
Oh, I'm sure he wants him.
Yeah, so I'm sure the coach wants him, and I'm sure the GM doesn't want to give him away for anything less than quite a haul. So I think he's kind of on safe ground saying we have no intent to trade Adrian Peterson, but he probably doesn't expect to get a good enough offer to move Adrian.
So do you think he's staying?
I thought all along that he would be gone. I'm starting to change my mind. Here's the thing. I don't think the Cowboys are going to make a big offer. The Raiders have a really good young back in Latavius Murray. They'd be stupid to make a huge offer for Adrian Peterson. You know, the Jaguars aren't close to winning, and Adrian's 30 years old. You know, there are a lot of teams, and Arizona makes the most sense to me. And they're a pretty well-run organization. I'm not sure how much they're giving up for 30-year-old running back. My guess is that while the Vikings would certainly move Adrian or anybody for the right price, other than maybe Teddy, they're not going to get that price, and they probably know they're not going to get that price, so why not just make it look like you have no intention of trading him anyway?
Hmm. Well, I mean, I'm very intrigued and interested in how it plays itself out.
It's fascinating. It's going to be fascinating whether he gets traded four times or whether he gets traded zero times. Going to be fascinating.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, the more I think about it, I thought it would have to happen Thursday, but it could happen Friday, because second-round pick with one of those teams with the early picks, that could happen. Tampa still, you know, if Tampa really does want is interested, I don't know why they would be, because they need to be building long-term, not short-term. But they've got picks they can send.
But while we all say that, while we all know what's in the best long-term interest of these organizations,
coaches don't
what
think
we have to remember is the GM and the coach probably got 2 years to win or they're out.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a league where so many coaches, so many general managers have proved that you can turn it around quickly. They know that they're going to get fired if they can't win right away, so why not try to win right away?
You're absolutely right. It's a great point. Well, what did you take away from there that was most interesting from what he said, Spielman?
I wouldn't say there's any one thing, John, that you already hit on the two big things, which is the tone of voice with which he addressed the Peterson thing I thought was very interesting. It didn't sound like he was hiding behind a choice of words. It sounded like he was being pretty adamant.
Yep.
The Dagra thing was hilarious, because, you know, if Dagra had walked up on the stage, Spielman would have tackled him, and they held him down and no need to death. Spielman kind of, in a typical Spielman fashion, he brought the fact that they're using more advanced analytics, but he didn't want to give anybody the person's name, wouldn't even say it was a man or a woman after he slipped and told us it was a man. That was pretty funny. I think everybody should use advanced analytics, whether you're running a golf tournament or you're running an NFL franchise.
Listening,
I
Patrick.
Just think you have to put it in the right perspective and combine it with common sense and eyeballs and other research and all that. So I thought it was interesting Rick brought that up. He was pretty blunt about, you know, being at 11, your goal is probably, you want to do one or two things at 11. You either want to have a great player fall into your lap, which has happened to the Vikings many times in their draft history, or you want to trade down, get the player you wanted anyway, and get extra picks. I really think that's going to happen. If he didn't see a great player fall into him, I think he trades down, maybe trades down twice.
Well, the message I got from what he said, it sounded like, because a lot of people are thinking he'll take another hybrid. He made it clear they got their hybrid last year. So which,
yeah, I don't see them taking it.
No.
I mean, now, here's the thing. If you can get a great edge pass rusher, you take him. These are so hard to find. If you can have bookends, you can build your entire defensive scheme around them. But I don't think that's what they're looking for. I'm not sure there's a guy who makes sense who will be there.
Shane Ray will be there.
Pardon me?
Shane Ray will be there.
You know, we're all making fun of Shane Ray today.
What a dope.
Warren Sapp smoked weed and went to the Hall of Fame. Randy Moss smoked weed and went to the Hall of Fame. Chris Carter was an addict and went to the Hall of Fame. Let's not write off a guy who partied a little bit. The guy could be a great player.
I don't deny that at all. Just not a very bright player. But
there's a lot of guys that we didn't think were that smart who were
right.
Hall of Fame bucks.
Jim, I can't argue with you on that one. Jim Suhan, Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. You doing one tonight, a podcast?
Yep. Going to the local over on Nicollet in Minneapolis. Master Tisfasian, my friend from the
Love Master.
Sports staff.
Great guy.
And he's been breaking down the draft. He's going to do a draft video show on StarTribune.com this weekend, so we're going to talk about all that. And knowing Master, I think we'll probably end up talking about Baltimore and the first Major League Baseball game ever to be played in front of zero fans today.
Incredible. Yep.
We'll talk about that. And then tomorrow at the Liffey, 5 o'clock, Michael Russo with me talking hockey. And both those places, we are giving away 3 pints of Guinness to the first 50 people to show up and check in on social media.
That's not too shabby. Jim, thanks. Thank you. Jim's segment, sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. See
you. All right, take care.
Thanks.
We'll come right back, and we talk to our guy. Marsh Hallberg's our guy. Patrick Huntsby, he'll be our guy when he gets us there live for the Ryder Cup. You're our guy now, sort of. And Jack Jablonski. And by the way, Patrick, I know that you do have to go because you're going to meet, what can we say?
Where
you're
going
to, you're going to meet a daughter of yours who happens to go to the U for something, coffee or a snack. But thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And it was fun. Thank you so much. And Jack Jablonski, our hockey guy, coming next.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show, Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
To be joined by Jack Jablonski, our hockey guy. Jack, I want you to tell young Hellboy here you refuse to talk until he plays a little Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. Just throw it on for Jack. Jack's a huge fan.
I can't work under these conditions. Jack, demand it.
I'll play it if Jack knows who Frankie Valli is.
Lie, Jack, right
Jack
now.
Jack knows he's a star of Jersey Boys.
No helping.
Oh, who's helping?
Obviously, I know him.
Obviously, I know him, he said.
There it goes. That's it. Where's the music?
Obviously, he knows him. Are you calling Jack Jablonski a liar?
I might be.
No, okay, that's another class action lawsuit. It's a good thing I have my mouthpiece here. Jack and I have our mouthpiece here for us. Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense. Okay, I think, is he going to do it for Jack? It's for Jack. It's for Jabs. Go ahead.
I got to find it. And plus, I have to throw him back on hold.
This is called dead time.
No, you don't have to do this. All right, Jack, while he's looking for it, Friday night, 8:30. I hate these 8:30 starts for you.
6:30.
It's no big deal. It's 6:30. You must love them, right?
I do. It makes things easier, obviously, not having to stay up till 11:30 watching a hockey game. But at the same time, I mean, publicity-wise, it's for the Wild, you know, getting attention out here. And overall, 8:30 start in L.A. is perfect. But it does have to be tough on the players. You know, you're used to playing a lot of 7 o'clock games.
Yep.
And now being in the Central Division, you know, a lot of the games in the past, the past 2 weeks of the NHL were, you know, division games, so they're in the same time zone. So it does throw you a little bit off, but it is the playoffs, and you know it coming into it that, you know, you might have some weird starts with the afternoon games and the weekends. Either way, you know, they'll be ready.
Now, Jack, last 2 years, as everyone knows, the Wild lost in the playoffs to Chicago. How different will it be this year? Will it be different? Do you think the Wild will win? And do it analytically, not as a fan. I know it's tough to separate that sometimes, but you're very good at analyzing these series and these games.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, you have to look at it as, you know, last 2 years, the Wild have gotten better and better. And in Chicago's case, they've gotten better, but to the extent that the Wild have, you add Vanek, you have guys growing up like Niederreiter and Coyle and Grant and all these guys that, you know, 2 years ago, last year, may not have been ready for a Chicago team that has won Stanley Cups in the past. But you see that they've experienced it and they've grown and got bigger and better. So you have to look at it in a good way, knowing that, you know, they've been through it before. And with Parise, is multiple guys on NBC have mentioned that he's probably the second best leader around Taves. With that matchup, it'll be interesting. But the one thing that is a little concerning is the Wild's fourth line compared to how successful they were against St. Louis, because we was a much more physical with Brodziak and Cook in there at times, and they were able to take advantage of their speed and their offensive abilities with Fontaine. And with Chicago not having guys that are always trying to stir it up with like an Ott or a Reeves, you've got other guys like Seabrook and Bickle who can also play hockey opposed to just trying to get in your head.
And well, let me ask you this: the thing about Chicago and Corey Crawford, you know, he his regular season the numbers weren't bad, but what happened in the playoffs? They had goaltending issues. You think it was him, or was it he just wasn't getting the protection he's gotten in the past?
It was a little bit of both. I think that's one thing that the Wild are going to have to take advantage with, and I know they've tried to do it in the past. Especially the past year when adding the Parise and Suter, it's using their speed. You've got a guy like Roosevelt who looked slow all series against Nashville, and Chalmerson, he's a little smaller, and maybe that third line now can take advantage of him. They tried to do it a little bit last year and weren't as successful as we would have liked to have been. But being that you've got the Wild speed that's gotten better and stronger and faster over the last years with the young guys, the defense of even Seabrook and possibly Keith, there is an advantage when it comes to our offense versus their defense.
Now I'm going to ask you, because he's in the top three, we know that, for the Vezina Trophy, where would you put Dubnyk? You have Price as the winner, or would you? Because I'd give it to Dubnyk because of what they're not in the playoffs without him, and he has an incredible second half. I know a lot of people looking at the body work, and I'm also amazed. We found out earlier today talking to Chad Graff. I didn't realize it's everybody in every pro hockey writer's city gets the vote, and Montreal's got a huge number of voters as opposed to a place like here where there's only a handful.
Yeah, unfortunately, I would give it to Carey Price. He's very, you know, deserving of the award and possibly even the MVP.
Traitor!
No, not at all, but it's tough because, you know, Dubnyk did do it over the course of half a year, and Carey Price, you know, who statistically was able to outplay Dubnyk even in that second half of the year. You know, you've got Dubnyk who second in goals against, same percentage, and you've got Carey Price, who is right above him. So I agree that obviously the Wild wouldn't have been in the playoffs without Dubnyk, but at the same time, Price was able to do it over the course of a year, and it's a great story, and I think that it's one of the better stories that has gone on all year, and he's very well deserving of an award, but unfortunately you've got someone that edges them out just at the end.
And now, this is a question that Hellboy, who will not play Frankie Valli in the four seasons, even though you requested it, he had it yesterday. Clearly, the top two stars are Dubnyk and Parise. Who would you give the third star to from this series against the Blues?
You know, that's a good question, because, you know, Parise has a lot of credit with scoring four goals or so, and Dubnyk shutting the high-powered offense in St. Louis down. But there's a lot of under the radar success that you have to give the Wild decor as a whole. Tarasenko did score six goals, but you look at Oshie, who didn't score a goal until the last second of the second period in the last game, and Backes was shut down. I think overall, defensively, you have to give a lot of credit to Spurgeon and Brodin. Obviously, you've got Suter, but under the radar, the defensive core was able to just shut down a high-powered offense in a 6-game series.
Ah, so you'd be giving it to more than just one player. It's all right, right?
Yeah,
you can spread it around Marsh. Spread the love.
It's definitely a team game, and in the playoffs, you know, as a combined core, you look at the youngsters and how they've stepped up. You know, it's hard to give. You can make a case for every single player that played all six games to be the third star.
Jack, because it is playoffs now, you don't have any. I'll give you a call on Thursday if you have some time. We'll set up a time so you can join us. If any news breaks over the next couple of days about players, we'll talk about that and just what's going on. Great hearing from you, Jack. Jack Jablonski, thank you for the time. Thank you to Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense and HallbergDefense.com. Same thing, but this way you can find it in case you need to get in touch with someone with his expertise. If you find yourself in a pickle, he'll get you out of it.
That's right. Jack, good talking to you, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you Thursday.
All right, thank you. And Hellboy still didn't come up with...
He's done. It's your last day. Sorry, but he gave you opportunity after opportunity, and you... It's just... He's defiant.
I'm going to have Marsh...
He's cocky.
He'll negotiate your exit...
attitude problem.
Your exit package.
That's right. I'll give you an exit package.
We'll do that. We're going to turn things over to Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. They'll take you till 7. Tomorrow, we got a treat. We got Cameron Botticelli is going to join us. He has played defense for the U. He's draft eligible. Could be drafted. He might even be a free agent. We know this. He's not going to get in trouble with the law. He's not someone who would need to get in touch with you. Great kid. He'll be with us tomorrow. We'll have Pete Wagner. We'll talk baseball with Pete and Al Newman. We got plenty to do. Maybe Hellboy will crack. He's a tough nut, though. We'll talk to you tomorrow.